Всем привет, это 251 выпуск подкаста «Откровенно про IT-карьеризм». С вами Ольга Давыдова, и сегодня нет. Оля решила покинуть наш проект, потому что, ну, мы с ней пообщались, и как бы ей то, как я задаю вопросы, не нравится. Плюс мы иногда пишем англоязычных все же гостей, она не может вести на подкаст на английском, поэтому у нас сегодня новая стажерка, которая будет вести, задавать сегодня вопросы на английском. Как раз у нас англоязычный гость, пожалуйста, представься.
Well, hi, my name is Tanya Ivanova, I'm working for Waverly, and actually going to help you to record.
Видите, насколько девушка увлекается как с подкастом английским, что она даже с вами не представляется на русском, она сегодня готовится полностью на английском отвечать. Вот, супер, тогда я перехожу на английский и будем общаться уже с нашим гостем. Hello, please present you, who are you, what are you doing?
Hi, my name is Matt Brown, I'm from Waverly Software, from the United States. And I'm here to talk to you guys and answer some questions about myself and our business.
Super. We have a first usual question for us. It's how you found yourself in IT. What was your way?
Oh, I knew I was interested in technology as a very young child. So I was involved in the old days of working on an Apple II and learning about 6502 assembly language programming and basic programming. And I taught myself all those things when I was a kid, actually. So I knew this was my path from a very early age.
Super. What was the reason to choose Brown University? It's your own university?
Well, it was just an interesting coincidence that it's called Brown University. But Brown has a really amazing computer science program, one of the best in the world. And it also is a great liberal arts school. So it was an opportunity to study my passion, which is computer science and technology, and also get involved with people and classes and other areas that I think would be harder to do in other universities. So it was a really good fit for me. I had a great time there.
Okay, so when you graduated university, what was the start of your career?
That's an interesting question. The start of my career is, I think most people could say, well, after they graduate from school, they go get a job. And for me, I actually had a startup when I was in school. About halfway through, with some of my friends, we built a Macintosh application that got sold to Apple. Even before then, I was doing programming jobs in high school and making a little money here and there, tutoring, technical tutoring with other kids. And so I was involved with a career in IT for a long time. But really, after, I think the traditional start would be after I graduated and was working.
So is it true that you started actually your own business?
Yes.
When being
more
student?
Than once. That is definitely true.
And the one that you started when you, like, grown up?
Mm-hmm. This one, the one I'm working in right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I've done several startups. Some of them are my own that I was the founder of. The most important one is Waverly, where I am now. The startup that I was involved with in university was called Clearview Software, which doesn't exist anymore, but it was a successful startup. And I was also involved with as an employee at some other startups that did not make it. So I've had experience in success and in failure.
Gotcha.
Okay. For me, it's an interesting question for you. What do you think different between two type of people? Because one can be entrepreneur and start something new in school yet, but others can live a life just as office slave.
Well, you know, I think people can go through different times of their lives where they can be good at different things. And you know, being a slave is maybe not the best way to put it, in my opinion. But there's definitely a role for people who want to create and build things. And there's also, I think, an equally important role for those people who want to be involved with building things that are maybe led by somebody else. There's not a right or wrong way. It's just a different path. And sometimes the path can change.
Okay. Why do you prefer outsourcing over the own product development?
I find outsourcing, or what I call actually providing a service. So what Waverly does now is we're working with our clients to help them build software and software teams. And what I like about doing that, there's multiple things. One of them is that, first of all, there's a lot of risk. When you're working in a startup, most of them do not make it. So most of the time you can go work in a startup and sacrifice a lot of your time and a lot of other things, a lot of time. If you have children, you might sacrifice a lot of time with them. You might sacrifice relationships or things that you enjoy doing. And life is has to be a balance. You need to do many things that you like, and including work. And working in a services company allows me to not have to take that risk. I don't have to take the risk of working around the clock for something that's not going to be successful. It's possible that we might not be successful. I don't believe that that will happen. I'm very confident that we already are successful. But we get to work with our clients and our partners and help them build their businesses. And what we're really building with them is our relationships with those people. And if their startups or even established businesses are not successful, we still will get to know those people and work with them at other places in the future. So we maintain personal relationships with people and kind of follow them through their careers, but we don't have to take the risk of the success or failure of their business. We're kind of removed from that a little bit. And I think that's a good thing because we have a much better work-life balance.
Do you think your location helps a business? I mean, tell me what's special about Silicon Valley?
Silicon Valley is obviously one of the centers of innovation anywhere in the world. So I think the exposure to people working there, the way they think, the way they act, is very beneficial. Of course, there's lots of contacts to clients and people that we can work with. So it's a great place to be for what we do.
And can you tell us, why did you choose Ukraine to build your first outsourcing office?
I think Ukraine offers a tremendous number of advantages, and everything from the size of the country, its education system, the nature of its people, the friendliness of its people, the capability of its people, the way they are. I think that people here in Ukraine are very much like we in America. They think very much the same way about life and about problems, about work. So there's a lot of just kind of natural alignment, and it makes it easy to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are you happy with what Waverly is now when it is almost 4 years of work?
Mm-hmm. Am I happy with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I'm happy with it. It's been super fun.
What is proud for you from these 4 years? What some achievement of this work is mostly proud for you?
I think that certainly working with the team that I have here, working with all the people in Ukraine, is something I'm very happy with. I love to come here and work with them. And I'm also very proud of the clients that we work with and helping them. We've really helped them solve some big problems, and that is a very satisfying thing.
Okay. How was Russia-Ukraine conflict seen from the States before, and how is it perceived now? Has it affected your business?
I think it has affected our business, not in a very large way, but people back anywhere where we have clients, they're aware of the fact that there's a conflict between Russia and Ukraine, and they are concerned about what might happen and how that would affect their relationship with Waverly. We've done a lot of work to mitigate risk, and we discuss that with our clients, and they're very satisfied with how we're handling things. And I think so far things are going well, so seems to be okay.
And was maybe you can say some ways how you plan handle some risks?
Sure. We started here in Kharkiv, and which is obviously in eastern Ukraine. We now have an office in Lviv, which is all the way on the other side of the country. So we're trying to spread some of our office locations. I think that's very useful. We have a villa in Montenegro where people here can go live and work for periods of time, which is outside of the country. That's another very, very useful thing. Even little things like having laptops for all of our employees makes it so they can pick up their computer and with their work environment.
And run from country.
That's right. Hopefully that hasn't had to happen. But I think just even from a day-to-day basis, having a laptop is super useful.
Okay, can you notice something interesting, and what differs the Ukrainian programmers mm-hmm. from their colleagues from other countries?
Well, one thing that I've noticed, and I have worked in a number of countries now, and Waverly also has an office in Vietnam, and I find that there's a lot of similarities, really, between people all over the world. Even from when they look different and speak different, there's actually more similarities than differences, which is really a wonderful thing to see. But specifically about Ukraine, as I said a minute ago, I think the people here are committed and motivated and excited to work in the IT space, and they seem, like I do, to be excited to work on really interesting clients and build really interesting products. So they resonate with that very, very well.
Okay, so one more question about Silicon Valley.
Sure.
Can you give any insight to the starting entrepreneurs today who are going to build a business in IT? And maybe, is it really like a success criteria to get to the Silicon Valley from your point of view?
Well, it's one of those things where if you had a list that you could check off, probably everybody would do it. So it's hard to know exactly what it takes to be a successful entrepreneur anywhere. But I think a critical factor is just your willingness not to be afraid, to know that there's fear out there, but not let it stop you from doing things. That's true for anybody all the time, actually. And to have an idea, to believe in yourself, to work at your idea, to talk to people, and put the time in and the passion in to make it happen.
You described a pretty good leader.
Yeah, I think those are attributes of a leader. Also, to be able to listen, reflect. Leaders are, you can imagine an organization chart where the leader is at the top, and then there's different levels of people below that leader. But really, in my opinion, the leader's job is to actually work for everybody else. It's to clear obstacles so that the rest of the team can be effective, and to set direction, make sure everybody's working together collectively for one goal.
Some pretty agile mindset, servant leader.
Okay, what is unique in Waverly compared with other thousands and thousands of different outsourced companies?
Well, I like to believe what really makes us different is our people. I think we have a passion and a commitment to working together, a care for ourselves together as a group and for our clients, which is unusual. And it really comes down to the people. Of course, we have great technical people, and we have great management, and we have great process. All those things are critical. But what really makes it work is the people, the culture and the people.
Okay, I found one interesting thing in your LinkedIn that you was volunteer in Observer, how
yes.
it's named. Can you describe this, your experience?
I think you're referring to the Raptor Observatory.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a volunteer group in the Marin Headlands, which is just north of the Golden Gate Bridge in the Bay Area. That part of California has a large raptor, hawks, birds of prey, migration. And I got to volunteer with a group of people who studied those birds, and we actually trapped them and banded them, and I had a great time doing that.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. You have more than 20 years experience in career. What is the most proud for 20 years your experience? Maybe some product, project?
I think out of all of those years, the last 4 years, working with our office in Ukraine has been the most powerful part for me. It's been an opportunity to really create what I really wanted to do and to work with the people I really wanted to work with. And so that's been the most satisfying part of all of it.
Okay. Do you have some hobbies?
Well, aside from banding hawks, as you mentioned, which I actually don't do anymore, but I'm interested in photography and traveling and taking photographs and making beautiful photographic prints. I have two kids, so I spend time with them doing things that they like to do. They like to horseback ride and bike ride and do kind of creative activities, so I spend a lot of time doing those things with my kids. One thing I haven't done in a while that I really enjoy and I'm going to go try to do again is model rocketry. So building and flying high power rockets is something I'm looking forward to doing more of.
You promised we'll do it together.
Yes, Tanya is interested in that too. So we're going to try to do that one day. Traveling, doing some more traveling. Those are all I have lots of hobbies. I could live three lifetimes of hobbies.
Okay, we have insider information that you have giant train, I don't know how it's in English, railroad.
Oh, yes, a train set. Yes, that's one of my hobbies. I do that with my son. So we have a big train set in our house.
Big, it's how long it?
It's pretty long. It's probably maybe 10 to 15 meters in one direction and maybe 6 to 8 meters in another direction.
Whoa.
That's pretty big.
Some guys in our country have flats smaller than your tray.
Yes, that's true.
Railroad. Okay, it's nice. Is there any person who impacted or changed revolutionary your mindset or your life?
Mindset for my life. Can you rephrase the question for me? Thanks.
Okay, what man or woman was is most important in life that changed your life?
Well, that's a great question. Well, I think here's an obvious example, and probably one that many people would use, is Steve Jobs. I think he really did change how technology is created and used. And whether you like his products or not, he had a super huge influence on the business. And I think that because I'm interested in technology and use technology products all the time, that has made a big difference. He made a big difference in all of our lives.
You have met with him in real life or just products?
I have interacted with him in kind of odd ways before his death, never in a formal business way, but I had kind of literally run into him from time to time in Silicon Valley.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a good man. You mentioned that you like to travel.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any place you'd really dream to visit?
It's funny. I've had the good fortune to travel to many places, and I travel a lot for work. So sometimes being home is actually my favorite thing to do because I'm on a plane for business so much. But I was inspired recently watching the movie The Martian to think it'd be cool to go to Mars. hopefully, I don't think I'll ever do that. But
we won't let you go.
No, I'm looking forward to seeing other people go there. So that would be it. To go to another planet would be really something incredible.
Okay, how successful startups different from those who
fails.
Fails.
Well, other than making money versus not making money, I think successful startups probably, in most cases, have to go through changes that they did not anticipate. So their ability to adapt and pivot, as they say, to be able to change quickly, I think is a critical factor. So you have an idea, you have a passion, you try to work on it. You have to realize when it might not be working the way you would like it to be working. And to be able to recognize that and then change it quickly and accurately, I think is an important skill.
Cool. You're an entrepreneur, and can you say maybe some advices for future entrepreneurs? What things can be make real good entrepreneurs?
Well, as I said a little while ago, being a leader and not being afraid. So a good thing for an entrepreneur is not to be afraid. And life is full of things that it's easy to be afraid of. That's a natural thing. But to kind of be willing to jump off the cliff, I think, is a good way to put it. You know, you don't know what's at the bottom, but you're just going to take that step and jump off the cliff and try to go do something. That's a critical skill. And then your ability to communicate. So your ability to talk to people, convey your ideas, gain users, gain supporters, gain investors. That's all about communication. And I think that's obviously a critical skill as well.
Okay. What are your future plans?
Future plans. Well, certainly building this company, continuing to lead it and build it. I think beyond that, it's hard to say. being a dad and with my kids and watching them grow up is certainly part of my future plans. Enjoying my life and following creative passions.
Good plans.
Yeah.
Can you advise the books to read for our listeners?
Book. Not a recent book, but a number of years ago, 5 years ago, I read a biography of Warren Buffett, who's, you know, the famous investor. Mm-hmm. And he's a really interesting, it was a great biography, a very interesting person. I don't know, but I found the book really cool. It was called Snowball. That was the name of the book. Great biography of a very interesting person.
Okay, and at last, what would you like to wish to our audience? Maybe advice, something.
Some advice to the audience?
Yeah.
Follow your passions, follow your dreams.
Be hungry.
Be hungry, yeah, stay hungry, as was once famously said. Peace, peace and yeah, that's an important thing, especially with what's happening here.
Okay, thank you, Matt, for your time and your answers. Спасибо, дорогие слушатели, что слушали нас и были с нами. Спасибо, Таня, за ее эксперимент. Кстати, пишите отзывы, что оставлять ее, не оставлять. Будем кого-то еще искать. Все вопросы и пожелания мне на почту shami13@gmail.com. Всем спасибо, всем пока. Bye-bye.
Bye, thank you.